Hey, this is Ethan Allman, and you're listening to WCDB Albany 90.9 FM, special broadcast of Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman. I've got Lewis Black on the phone. Lewis Black, how's it going?
Great.
Thank you so much for calling in. This is it's really an honor to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. Things must be slow.
Well, I've been a big fan of stand-up comedy since I was little, and you're always one of my favorites, so it's really, really, really great to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much.
So, when I first told everyone that I was going to be doing an interview with you, everyone was like, oh, tell him hi. So I just want to go through a list of all the people who wanted to tell you hi.
Okay.
This guy, Jim, who I saw earlier,
nice.
He said to say hi. Cena Amundsen, you performed with in Salt Lake City during the filming of Unaccompanied Minors.
Wow.
Matt Scott from Third Rail with Rob Corddry, and he said that you hosted the weekly show at the Gotham Comedy Club.
Yes.
And then a Bo Burnham, who placed second in this year's stand-up showdown, he said to say hi. I want to say hi myself, so hi, Lewis.
Hello.
So got some big people saying hi to you.
That's very nice. That stand-up showdown is so dumb.
Yeah.
It's beyond belief.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard
I really would love to know how much money they make on that.
Yeah.
Because you got to vote, if you vote with your text, I mean, it's just, really, guys, can we...
So, I've seen you a number of times live, and I've always wondered, why do you, after John Bowman, your opener, goes, why is there an intermission before you go on?
Oh, because theaters demand the intermission for the sale of alcohol.
Oh, okay, so it's not anything that you guys would want to do.
No, I mean, sometimes, yeah, depending on, you know, like if it makes some sort of sense, you know.
Right.
You know, in any way, shape, or form. But normally, I mean, the only other thing is just in terms of the break and to let people, you know, use the facilities who didn't use them the first time. But otherwise, you know, it really is for alcohol.
Okay. Well, I guess, yeah, they want to sell as much as they can.
Well, that's the deal.
So,
it's their theater.
Right. Now, I was wondering, do you request anything odd on your rider when you do shows?
No, I request hardly anything.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd be like a big diva asking for like...
No,
it's
kind of silly. We initially, when we did the... we learned that early on. I did a tour with Dave Attell and Mitch Hedberg. And,
right.
Dave and I had... Dave had a Jaeger and I had vodka. And then after the first 4 days, we already had enough for the entire tour.
Oh, man.
So it was like, really? So, no, we... And then we requested, like, you know, some sandwich meats and stuff, and then you realize that they didn't really... Sometimes they just smelled... it just got to be stupid.
Yeah.
And so I'm down to peanuts, some chocolate bars, and some gum.
Oh, okay.
And some red wine.
Now, do you have any cool stories about Mitch Hedberg?
Just that he's one of the strangest people I ever met. I mean, really brilliant. He was not like, I mean, Dave and I spent time with him, but he was not a person I'm sure got close to him. We didn't.
Okay.
I mean, it was fun to be with him, and he was great to watch, and I have, and I certainly respect people's whatever choices people want to do, but he was, I knew things were going to be strange. The second day we were traveling to Austin, I think, by van, and he went out, and we all went into this place to get some sandwiches in this really roadside little dumpy place, and he came out with like 15 Dr. Pepper cups and was very excited about that, and I went, okay. That was the kind of stuff he'd do. You go, okay. If that works, I'm more than happy for you.
So I'm always interested, who are like your favorite up-and-coming comics right now? Maybe like in the New York City scene?
Well, you know, it's tough because I don't get to spend enough time there. I like Paul Mercurio, and I like Ted Alejandro.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two that first come to mind. Mary Grodin is a really funny lady who doesn't get enough, you know, credit. And there's another woman whose name is escaping me, and it's going to tick me off because I thought of Corey Kahaney, who I thought of, who I like, but she's been around for a while. And but there's somebody else, and that was hers is the name I thought of. And then there's another, Jessica Kirsten, Katie Lazarus, but she writes a lot more than I think she's doing stand up.
Okay.
There's also and then there's, you know, people like Dom Irera and Kathleen Madigan and my opening act, John Bowman and Louis C.K. and an endless list of people.
Yeah. Now, do you get to go out to comedy shows much if you're not performing on the show?
No. And, I mean, it's almost, it reaches a point where, you know, you kind of want to get away from it.
Yeah.
It's not my obsession. I mean, I like doing stand-up, but I really, I mean, the thing you miss about doing clubs is that you used to, you know, I used to see a lot more comics. And I don't really get to do that anymore. And when I'm on something, usually it's not with younger comics.
Yeah.
And I don't really, I mean, because it's like a night off, and I tell you, I don't have a lot of time off, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're always
touring. I'm not thinking, I'd like to see Friends. That's kind of fun.
So you've got the Lou Cruise coming up.
Yes.
Now, that's going to be a good opportunity to, you know, see comedy and spend time with your friends.
Yes,
can you tell us
about that? Was that's the reason I did it, was to spend time with my friends.
Oh, really?
Well, partly, yeah. I mean, we don't get to see each other.
Yeah.
And we don't. I don't get to see. John Panette is on the cruise. I never get to see. I've seen him once every year and a half, and he really makes me laugh. And Kathleen Madigan, I see a bit more, but. You know, we're like good friends, so I get to hang out with her. Susie Essman is another one who just kills me, and we just really cross paths, so that's another great chance. And then there's Dom Irera, who really hasn't gotten his due, because he's really one of he's a really great comic.
Yeah,
and,
he is.
And we usually appear... he's calling me right now. So
okay.
I'm going to have to turn him off. That's
all
very
right.
Funny.
That's great timing.
He's a favorite of mine, and we usually work together once a year, either in where we get to see each other, and we haven't, and we lost, we didn't get to in a while. So, Ted Alejandro's on the cruise, and I think he's just really he's been opening for Louis C.K.
Okay.
And is really he's one of those guys I don't understand why they haven't, you know, basically you can put geniuses in front of people, or, you know, really good comics in front of people in this industry, and they don't see it.
Yeah,
I mean, people can be up standing up there for years. It's just amazing. And Ted is one of those people that they haven't figured out yet. And I have my friend Mark Lynn Baker, who was the star of Perfect Strangers for a long time in a movie called My Favorite Year, and so he's going to do some stuff. And
good.
John Bowman, and then we'll do some short plays of mine that nobody ever sees. And
this sounds really fun.
I think it's going to be very good. I actually think it is going to be fun. I mean, it's silly. It's really silly.
Yeah.
On a boat with, you know, it's like a huge boat. But, you know, I think it's really a, you know, it's a really, I mean, it's an unbelievable group of comics. And it's not just, and it's not just watching us do stand-up, so.
Right. Now, is there any challenge for you in doing stand-up at this point in your career?
Yeah. I mean, the challenge is coming up with the material.
Right.
And trying to get you know, good, you know, like you want the next set to be better than the last set. So it's always kind of a, and then the challenge is letting go of material you really like. Oh God, I right. can't believe I got to let that go. I love doing this. I mean, there's little sections, and then it's, you know, it's really evolving the next set and
right.
hoping the next set is better than the last set.
Now, how would you say your stand-up has evolved since the beginning of your career? Because I kind of noticed that it's more political stuff now compared to, like, some of your earlier albums.
Yeah, well, part of that was because, it's evolved from the fact that it was a lot more yelling and a lot more screaming early on, and then I learned to modulate, and I think I've learned to use language better. And also my voice better, and mm-hmm. to make a point, and, or to make that, you know, I could yell to make it funny, or I could go make it lower and make it funny. And I've learned, I think, how to do that, you know, which one makes more sense. And then, the only reason it's become more political is because, the anger kind of has grown about, you know, that's where my comedy
yeah.
kind of comes from, and that's the stuff that sets me off now. Because now it's just, I mean, it just becomes more beyond belief.
Goodbye.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your relationship with Dan Whitney, Larry the Cable Guy?
I told Dan to become Larry the Cable Guy and changed his life. No, I've known Dan since he was Dan Whitney, so
okay.
I've watched him grow, and then I watched him really bust his hump. Which, you know, like people go, you know, about what's his name? The God, my brain is fried. The did too many interviews. the prop guy, the redheaded prop guy.
Oh, Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. Okay, Carrot Top. That's so sad, Lewis. You know, but they yell about Carrot Top, or they yell about Larry, you know, and
yeah.
The thing is that, you know, Carrot Top had to work for years, but dragging that stuff around. I mean,
yeah.
He did all the work, and Larry, you know, you may not like what Larry does and says, and you may not think it's funny, but he did all the work.
Yeah.
And I've known him forever, and, you know, and it's like, as he put it, you know, what am I going to tell my audience to go home?
Right.
And it's based on... and he's, you know, he's got, you know, I mean, we totally don't agree on politics, so.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a friend of mine.
So, I don't know. I'm
his wife's favorite comic, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the best part.
Oh, that's
so
great.
I win.
So, I guess, like, is there anything that annoys you about a comedian that you like? If you perform the comedians, there's something in particular that a lot of people do that kind of annoys you?
How we doing? Everybody having a good time? You know, that kind of stuff. That
yeah.
How we doing? You know, really, you really want to know how we're doing? I mean, it's just that when it's that kind of like plug-in fake. You know, it's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
It's even if it's genuine, it's just, you know, it's more than I can bear at times.
Yeah. Now, have you ever like run into someone who you've talked about in your stand up that gave you crap about it?
Nah.
Never?
Nah.
Wow.
Nobody. I'm not that. It's funny, but you know, I'm kind of off their dial. They don't really pay attention to me. The ones, you know, that, you know, and a lot of the guys, you know, take it as kind of a compliment, so who knows? I mean,
yeah.
But I've never really run into much of that. None of it. You know?
Yeah.
Even Al Roker thought it was funny that I call him a big fat huh. You know?
Yeah.
Because when I started yelling about him, he was just starting to get known, so it wasn't like I was, in a sense, I was saying in a way that he's known.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's people don't really, you know, most of them get it, and the ones who don't get it don't really pay attention to me. And I'm not really that much on the radar. I'm kind of below everything, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not in the, I don't have the big TV show, so I'm not really followed, you know, except by people who kind of pay attention to what I'm doing.
Yeah. Now, what point did you realize that stand-up could be a career for you and not just a hobby?
I was 40.
Wow.
And that was where the change. I mean, I knew that I've been writing plays, and I was really broke, and I was asked to come over to start working at Catch a Rising Star, and I started doing that, and I started to, and I found that I was really enjoying it, and I was, and then it became like, you know, then, you know, people seemed to want to actually see me, or, you know, at least give me the opportunity to be seen.
Right.
And so I started going around clubs in New York, and then I went on tour with my friend John Bowman, who's a, and he had a tour up in Michigan one summer, and I did that, and that was kind of what pushed me toward it even more. And then finally I was in Houston. We were doing a play down there, and I made the decision at that point, you know, it was like, I can't, these people are nuts in the theater. And I went across town to a club and, auditioned to come back there. And they, you know, I'd been busting my hump to get a play done in a major theater. And when I finally did, it was really a ripoff in a lot of ways.
Oh.
And a lot of the stuff they told me was lies. And I was like, really? I've been trying to get to this, so I go across town to a comedy club where I'm dealing with a drunk, and he brings me back. You know, he goes, "That's great. Yeah, come on back." And da 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 da. And that was that. And then I just said, "That's it. I'll do this."
So you have like two best-selling books already. What's your third book going to be about?
My third book is which I'm typing as we speak. it's about Christmas. Called I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas.
Oh, that's great. So
it's,
just...
It's a long digression. It's about how I spend Christmas Day with long digressions about what, you know, basically it really is in a lot of the ways what I think about during Christmas time.
So, besides Root of All Evil, have you pitched any other TV shows?
Oh, yeah, we've been screwed on a number of levels by a number of varieties of channels. And I just recently got screwed on another pilot, and so with NBC, of all people, because they're doing so well. And they really take a chance. Couldn't take a chance on me. I've pitched two cartoons, both. One of which is brilliantly drawn by this kid. I mean, brilliant. That's truly when I learned they don't know what they're doing, because
yeah.
One of the things was as much as I cared about doing, I'm in pretty good shape. I mean, I like doing what I'm doing, and if I can get something like that and work with some people on another project, it'd be great. But I'm fine. But the one thing I thought was, this kid is really, I mean, he's a genius. That's it. His animation, his caricatures, his, you know, his drawings are like nothing anyone has ever seen. And his idea for the show and everything. And I thought, minimally, you know, you bring in, it's like, okay, here is, I'm bringing you the one of the truly great talents of our time in terms of visual animation,
mm-hmm.
and you don't see it, okay? Well, it's a little too dark. Well, okay, that's fine. Can you not find another job for him?
Yeah.
That was where I've been stunned. And we also, I did something with Dave Thomas of... SCTV.
Okay.
You know, and he is, he had a really great idea that we're still trying to knock around, which is where I play a vampire slayer and a stand-up comic who hasn't, you know, it's me playing clubs. And it's me about 10 years ago. It's me about 10 years ago, and if I was a vampire slayer. and it was very simple and very funny, and Dave Thomas is extremely funny as a writer and performer, and it's like we took it to Comedy Central, and Comedy Central went, well, you know, we really want to work with Lewis, but, you know, we're not doing animation anymore. And then, you know, I turned the TV on the other day, and they put another animation on. You know, it's just kind of...
Yeah.
You reach the point of, you know, are you serious? So, and it was, I mean, to their, you know, partly to their credit, I don't think it was pitched well, but it was pitched with a couple of other people. And I said at the end of it, I just said, look, you, just put it simply, you have Dave Thomas and you have me. And if that's not enough, okay. But I mean, I don't understand what, it's just, the whole thing has always been the business. I've said it a billion times to people, you know, comics who say, you know, what's your advice? And I say, my advice is remember that the learning how to be a really great stand-up, which is nearly impossible, is still easier than figuring out what the business is.
Yeah. Lewis, I really appreciate you calling in. I had a lot of fun. And,
well, it was great. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope maybe we can talk again sometime.
I've got nothing but time the way things are going, so. yeah, we'll do this again sometime. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Lewis Black. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Talk to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Lewis Black, of course, and he is probably the greatest comedian ever. I'll put that out there. So you can check out his website, lewisblack.com.